Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Matt Piper in New York. President Biden and congressional leaders are expected to resume negotiations this week to avoid a government default.
President Biden, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, and other congressional leaders are expected to meet again this week to discuss budget negotiations to avoid a default. While there's no deal yet on raising the debt ceiling, the president is optimistic.
I really think there's a desire on their part as well as ours to reach agreement. I think we'll be able to do it.
As to when that meeting will be,
we're working on right now the exact time.
Will it be on Tuesday? It's been reported it'll be Tuesday.
I think so.
Stacy Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
The number of mass shootings this year soars into the hundreds, with more gun violence again this weekend. Correspondent Astrid Martinez.
In Yuma, Arizona, two dead, five injured, many of them teenagers at a family gathering. In Albany, New York, three shot and one killed, including an eight-year-old. And in Philadelphia, a 14-year-old was shot and killed Saturday.
Police are also investigating Saturday shootings in Louisville and Sacramento. Now to China, where that country has sentenced a 78-year-old U.S. citizen to life in prison for alleged espionage. The Communist Party there says John Xinguan Lung is an American passport holder and a Hong Kong permanent resident. Such investigations and trials are held behind closed doors, and little or no information is ever made public. Back here, Title 42 rules to turn away asylum seekers have ended, but the Biden administration has put new limits in place at the southern border. Correspondent Christian Benavidas says the latest restrictions are cutting down on an expected surge of migrants.
Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas says that number went from over 10,000 encounters to 6,300 on Friday and about 4,200 on Saturday.
We have communicated very clearly a vitally important message to the individuals who are thinking of arriving at our southern border.
While there was a heat wave in the Pacific Northwest, in the Houston area, there was a lot of this weekend. Torrential rains caused flash flooding and stranded cars in pools of water. This next one starts out like many others do, a Florida man. But this one has to do with a university professor who's broken the world record for their longest time living underwater at 75 days so far. Joseph DeCherry's been living at Jules Undersea Lodge in Key Largo, Florida, at the bottom of a 30-foot lagoon. He's studying how the human body reacts to living under extreme pressure for long periods of time. And the University of South Florida says DeCherry is still teaching his biomedical engineering class online. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.
Babbel's lessons are fun. They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're starting to speak another language, like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
Babbel.
Babbel. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, May 15th. In Wood County, the Residential Options Committee will meet at 8:30 a.m. at the courthouse in room 114. The Citizens Groundwater Group will meet at 2 in the River Block Building in room 206. The Wisconsin State Fair Board of Directors will meet at 6:30 at the Fair Office in Marshfield. In Portage County, the Board of Adjustment will meet at 4 p.m. at the Portage County Annex in Conference Room 5. The Health and Human Services Board meeting scheduled for 4:30 has been canceled. The Stevens Point Special City Plan Commission will meet at 6 in the Community Room on Michigan Avenue. Following that, the Common Council meeting will begin at 7. In Adams County, the Library Board will meet from 2 to 3 p.m. The Adams City Council meeting will run from 6 to 7 p.m. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly clear skies overnight with a low of 35. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow. Highs level off around 72. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows around 50. Mid-70s Tuesday with a chance for scattered storms. Mid-60s. Bright sunshine expected Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 40.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station. Liability, responsibility, and gullibility. We must tell you, the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics. Please allow me to introduce myself. Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday Happier Happy Hour. Dama gets happier. Right now, we got a fine guest right from the top. He is former U.S. Attorney James Hantel, host of the Morning Cannolis right here on the Civic Media Network, 9 to 11 a.m. Saturday mornings. And of course, friend of the Devil's, Jim, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
It is always good to be with the two of you. Delighted to be with you once again this afternoon.
Thank Jim, you. We're calling this the FU Friday edition. It seems to be the attitude of the Republican Party, especially towards, let's call it, the law and the Constitution of late. But Jim, before we turn towards the legal travails of the former and perhaps even the current congressman from New York, George Santos, I want to ask you about the Title 42, I think it's called, the expiration of this Trump-era policy, this COVID policy. And Jim, there are, 130,000 immigrants sitting on the border. To hear Fox News tell it, we are under attack. We are being invaded. Legally, Jim, what's the solution? I mean, how do we put, the genie back in the bottle?
Sure. The solution, one that should have been enacted decades ago, is the United States Congress that has not done something to do comprehensive immigration reform in as long as I can remember. There have been proposals. And I remember when I was U.S. attorney, there was a package put together, bipartisan support, anticipating that it would go through committee, would get the approval, would get the president's signature on it, and it never happened because we fell apart over not necessarily small things, but things about which reasonable people can differ. We haven't done it. And so we do have a crisis. We're not about to get invaded. There are large numbers of people there in the wake of Title 42, effective 12 o'clock last night, with the removal now of our status under the pandemic. We go back to Title 8, which is the way the law was before that. The Biden administration has appropriately recognized that this is going to be a challenge. The Secretary of Homeland Security putting in place some proposals here that have to do with the ways in which we can most methodically get these folks administered. There's an app for doing that. There's a regional processing centers. This is not easy, and the secretary acknowledges that. But again, we need long-term, we need congressional action on this, and shame on both parties for not doing this for years and years. We continue to suffer in the wake of that inactivity And that's the real source of the concern.
Well, I think there are some more culpable than others. And I would point towards the last action of the Gang of Eight when they try to get together and they try to bring forth comprehensive immigration reform. Well, it was killed by the Republicans. It was killed by Marco Rubio, and he was one of the co-sponsors of the bill. He wrote the damn thing, and then he opposed it, Jim. So, you know, I know you're a very generous man, but this is an FU Friday kind of a show, Jim. Let's call a spade a spade. It was more the Republicans. But sure, over the history since Reagan's amnesty in the 80s, yeah, both parties have been in charge, at least for some period of the time.
And you're making reference to specifically the event that I recall well, sitting at Main Justice, talking to people. Again, we're not involved in legislation as U.S. attorneys, but anticipating changes in the immigration law for enforcement purposes. We thought this was going to happen. And then, yes, that's absolutely right. Between the senator from Florida, other people deciding, nope, we can't have this happen under the Obama administration. We backed off. And everything follows from that and precedes that as well. Doesn't get us into a better state today. But that's the problem. I applaud the Biden administration for doing everything it possibly can. I recognize the ACLU is not particularly happy with the ways in which this is being rolled out. They filed a lawsuit challenging some of the trappings of this. It is hugely, hugely problematic at all levels. We've got to be focused upon humanity. We've got to be focused on the law such as it is. We've got to do staffing. We've got to be thoughtful about law enforcement. Everything has got to be on the table. It's long overdue to do something about this problem. Now it's going to be back on our docket once again, and we're going to make it a political crisis once again, which it should not be.
Our fight guest, James Santel, former U.S. Attorney. Jim, I hadn't heard the despicable term anchor baby until today again. It had been a while, but suddenly we're back to talking about anchor babies, and I heard callers on right-wing talk radio talking about the 14th Amendment and birthright citizenship. And the concept that so many of these immigrants are really just coming here to birth babies so they can be U.S. citizens. And I'm thinking, well, that's been the way. I think there was, what, a legal decision in the 1890s that cast it this way, Jim. But don't we want people born here in this country to be citizens of this country? I'm less clear other than the fact that Fox News makes a lot of money and drives a lot of ratings, making people fearful. I'm not sure why we are ginning up such fear of assimilating more Americans, those born here even.
Absolutely. And the law, the Constitution is clear. That's the basis upon which citizenship is premised in part. You can also get it, obviously, through other appropriate mechanisms. That's what our country has been founded upon. And beyond the legal trappings of it, we desperately need immigrants. We need people to come to this country, not only for our workforce, but for our social well-being, our cultural well-being. It adds to who we are as a nation. And this notion, once again, that, again, being espoused absolutely by those conservative talk show hosts and others out there, that somehow this is a battle that we now need to undertake and we're going to somehow affect the future of our nation. No, this is what the future of our nation is dependent upon, the growth and development of our population, both for those citizens and residents who are here and those who are coming here properly in the future. You know, I should note as well that the Constitution of the United States of America does not just apply to citizens. The Supreme Court has said this routinely, that all the protections in that Constitution do not simply apply to citizens. It is people in our nation. And that's why the courts have traditionally, in all sorts of due process settings, equal protection settings, have said, even if you are not even here legally, if you are not a citizen, you still benefit from the provisions of the Constitution and the good things that are the United States of America. We need to remember that in the midst of this vocal objection to what will probably not be happening here in America.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That is James Santel. He's a friend of ours. He's a former U.S. attorney's host of Morning Cannolis here on the Civic Media Network Saturdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Jim, thank you. It's always great to see you. Let's get to some of the legal issues, problems for the former president. Of course, this week, E. Jean Carroll, a jury, including some you know, folks who apparently admitted to listening to right-wing podcasts unanimously found Donald Trump liable for what, sexual battery in this civil case, and also for defamation. Want to get a couple things from you, Jim, if I may. Number one, your thoughts on the verdict slash decision, I guess. And number two, the defamation. Donald Trump went on CNN saying the same kind of things he just got charged or found liable for again. Jim, is there a second case? So you go.
At that point, prompting E. Jean Carroll and Roberta Kaplan to be suggesting that maybe there will be another case because we've done it again. And again, I will say that his lawyers, I'm not especially fond of them to begin with for all their antics in this trial, have to be going nuts in trying to control their client. As to the verdict itself, absolutely unanimity, civil trial, and also notable, six men, three women found based very quickly, about 3 hours, found based upon the evidence presented to them that an event happened over a quarter century ago. That is a remarkable thing to be able to prove that in court. She did it by virtue of her very compelling testimony, graphic, specific about what happened to her, corroborated by people to whom she reached out after it happened, corroborated by at least two other women who are also among the, two dozen women in this nation who maintain that they've been sexually abused, assaulted by the former president. The verdict is a result of Donald Trump's own words in his deposition and doubling down, I think very importantly, very significantly for this jury, on the Access Hollywood notion that, yes, that's what you do. He had the chance in that deposition to back off of that language and say, oh, no, I was just talking to Billy Bush on some 6:30 event television show, but he didn't. He said, no, that's exactly what we do. And I think more than anything else, that affirmation, he didn't testify himself, that affirmation makes the credible presentation by E. Jean Carroll very compelling. Obviously, the jury agreed with that, returns this verdict. She's got $5 million, and she can enforce that. She can enforce that. We'll look forward to that happening.
Folks, you are listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. It's the Friday edition. We got a fine guest. He is James Santel. If you want to hear his big show, you got to stick around till tomorrow morning. That's Morning Cannoli, Saturday morning, with the aforementioned former U.S. Attorney James Santel. Jim, the testimony, the depositional testimony, the fact that Donald Trump basically cooked his own goose in a multitude of ways. He also identified E. Jean Carroll, the plaintiff, as Marla. That's my wife. That's Marla. And it wasn't even being asked of him. The question being posed to him is, there's E. Jean Carroll. There's you. You acknowledge this is, oh, I know the husband. Da, 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 da. Oh, and that's my wife. They didn't ask him the question he offered of his own volition, and he cooked his own goose. And maybe it's just $5 million, Jim, but that's a hell of an expensive misstatement.
It is. That's why Donald Trump, so much out of control. Lawyer's worst nightmare as a client, as I said. And that, too, volunteered information. This is an unforced error, as we say in the sports world, but a big one. And affirms, and again, specifically refutes the notion that this was not his type. In fact, plainly, the woman in that picture was his type. He thought that was his first wife. The jury once again looks at it and says, no, Mr. Defendant, we don't believe you.
Unfortunately, not a criminal conviction. And a day or so later, he's off on CNN doing it again. Come back, our fine guest, Jim Santel. On the other side, we'll do it again.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
It's always a standard room only. You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standard room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, out come tickets.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football, fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, the Cripescast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The issue with Milwaukee schools, just not enough high-quality schools.
Weekdays 11 to 2.
You can talk about everything else. You can talk about the funding. You can talk about school choice and for it or against it. But there's not enough Hope Christian schools. There's not enough St. Marcus schools. There's not enough Kings. There's not enough Reagans.
And until we fix that,
Milwaukee public schools really isn't going to change.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Hey, Dan Kelly, you went around the state saying there had been fraud and the election should be overturned. You did that. You took $120,000 in pay from the Republican.
The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Santel, our friend, former U.S. attorney, joining us. Jim, thanks for sticking around. I wanted to move on to some of the legal news of the day. And one of my favorites, George Santos, if that's your real name, finally charged wire fraud, money laundering, and stealing public money with regards to what his... He was getting some COVID unemployment money when he should not have been, and now he's, what, can cast a vote in that regard. Jim, want to get your thoughts. What do you think of the charges? And if convicted, how much time do you think a guy like this would actually do?
Yeah, so the six counts wire fraud, three money laundering, making false statements, one count of stealing public money. All those are counts that are basic prosecution units that describe how he affected these two big things. You just mentioned one of them, illegally receiving about $24,000 in unemployment benefits during the pandemic, has no entitlement to that. That is fraud. Presumably the government has this application, the documents, the approval of it, all those kinds of bank records that support that. Fairly compelling case. Arguably even worse, although it's difficult to say which one of these is more compelling, $50,000 in campaign donations using for personal expenses. Again, that's a violation of federal law, just in case anyone's unclear on that notion. George Santos presumably now clear on all of that. He plainly also finally resolving his international problems, so that's out there as well. That may or may not result in a higher sentence here. I invoke that only because in the sentencing guidelines, one of the things that judges take a look at in imposing sentence is your prior criminal record. And his disposition of that case coming out of South America may or may not be there. I haven't looked at that in a while. But as a practical matter, you know, if you add up all of these 11, 12, 13 counts or so, each one's of carrying variously 5, 10 years in jail, lots of exposure there. He will not get that period of time. But not only the fraud, which is compelling here, it seems to be very straightforward, but the fact that you're doing this in violation of the federal trust. There's also a portion of the sentencing guidelines that gives you an enhancement, if you will, recommended to the judge that there be a higher level. If in fact you've done this in some way that violates the public confidence placed in you, that is this. Would not be surprised if once he is convicted, who knows, if he got a right to jury trial, presumption of innocence attends him, but could get several years in prison for this kind of thing. Again, not only to deter him, which in this case is significant, you want to stop him from doing this, but also to stop the other George Santoses out there. That's general deterrence, which we've talked about a lot. You do this, you'll get in trouble, you'll get indicted by the Department of Justice, you'll go to trial, get convicted, your conviction will be affirmed on appeal, and you'll be spending some significant years in prison. specific as to him, general as to the rest of the world. Again, another important prosecution going on, appropriately the focus of America's attention.
Jim Santel, our fine guest. Jim, you absolutely know that this could be a blueprint for the prosecution of the former president, Donald Trump. He is alleged and basically committed the same crimes in broad daylight. The crime, of course, being raising campaign money under false premise and using it for personal enrichment, which seemingly is the grift behind the Trump campaign. Jim, how is it that Santos, and he was squealing from the podium that day post-indictment, and he walked out to the podium, eventually got there, and said, this happened so rapidly. It's been 4 or 5 months, and I'm thinking he makes a valid point. When's Trump going to get charged?
Right.
Wire fraud, on the financial crimes associated with raising money on the January 6th in the rigged election.
Right. And we almost forget about that aspect of this, right? We think about the ellipse and his enticements, incitements to people to go and attack the Capitol. That's a part of this, too. And don't be surprised if the Department of Justice, I am still very hopeful, I believe this will happen, that there will, in fact, be an announcement sometime this summer, I hope, by the Attorney General that our former president's been indicted. And there will be a financial component to some of the counts in that indictment, again, because they're discrete prosecution units. You can identify, like the Santos thing, say, here are the documents, here are the numbers. You don't have to rely upon, well, how did this impact you? This is clear. And so it is a blueprint in many, many ways to what should happen in the Trump prosecution as well. You know, it also stands, you know, for this larger issue, again, about public trust. And I think that will come through as well in the indictment coming out from the Department of Justice. I shared your same response when I listened to Santos, number one, not understanding civics, that you can be charged for your crimes whenever the prosecution is ready to go. So he's kind of misleading the United States of America generally on that. But he does have a bit of a point. And this is the one that the three of us have made repeatedly on this fine broadcast, which is TikTok. You know, there are lots and lots of things you can pick from when it comes to Donald Trump. Jack Smith now has to identify those discrete prosecution units that can be indicted, that can be tried, that can be explained to a jury clearly, and that we can get convictions on. I already talked about, you know, my March 1 deadline has come and gone. The longer this goes on, the greater the possibility that this may not reach fruition.
Jim, let's talk about that. Dom and I argued this point at least extensively earlier this week. George Santos, during the course of his, and Jim, can you stick around for a few more minutes? Because I've got some follow-up questions as well. But
absolutely.
George Santos, during the course of his post-indictment press conference, was quick to reassure he's running for re-election. And we talked about timing. We've broached this issue before. The timing of Santos's indictment, first and foremost, he can continue to run for office under indictment. Is it likely he would come to trial between now and next year's election? He's back on the ballot as a congressman. And is there anything that the DOJ would, or a federal judge, would they, you know, fail to bring this to trial within 60 days of the election, as Crudy contended earlier this week? But Jim, before you answer, gotta take a little short commercial break. But come back on the other side and tell me I'm all right and Dom's mostly wrong. Side. More Devil's
Advocates. We'll talk about it.
More Devil's Advocates. We got a fine guest. He is Jim Santel. He's the host of Morning Cannolis. You got to get up tomorrow morning, 9 to 11, for his big show. But stick around. We ain't done yet. The Happier Happy Hour rolls on.
On air, online, on your smart speaker, and on the Civic Media app.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
They are our cuddlers and co-workers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there's nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Mama, what does the chicken say? Dog. Cat. Giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. An historic overhaul of Wisconsin's shared revenue system is one step closer to passing the legislature. The Assembly's Local Government Committee passed the bill Thursday. Democrats on the committee tried and failed to remove parts of the bill that have nothing to do with state aid to local communities. Representative Clinton Anderson from Beloit.
I'm a person who believes in local control, and I support local governments, and I want to give them the tools to do what they do best.
But Republican Todd Novak of Dodgeville says Democrats have had their chance to shape the bill.
Yes, it is a Republican bill, but your party did have a lot of input and suggestions and stuff.
The next stop is the Assembly floor next week. Governor Evers has promised to veto the bill unless quotas and other restrictions on local governments are taken out. In sports, the Brewers host Kansas City tonight. I'm Melissa Kay, and this is Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly clear skies overnight with a low of 35. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow. Highs level off around 72. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows around 50. Mid-70s Tuesday with a chance for scattered storms. Mid-60s. Bright sunshine expected Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 40.
And you love the Devil's Advocates, and you love our fine guest, Jim Santel. Jim, we appreciate you sticking around. And I have many questions, because Dom and I, you know, we need you to arbitrate which one of us is right. The question, timing in federal elections. So if it comes to Donald Trump, and my contention, Jim, is if Trump is your nominee, if he wins the Republican primary, and we get within 2 months of the general election, I feel it would be very difficult for the Department of Justice to indict that late in. And what's your thought on that? The indictment within a couple months of an election.
Right. So there are internal memorandums. They're not laws. They're not legislative mandates. They're not directives from the president, but they're internal memorandums about this issue. And it invests considerable discretion in the prosecution generally, including U.S. attorneys, to make this judgment call. Remember, the U.S. attorney in Northern Illinois had to make a tough call with Ron Blagojevich not too long ago when he was selling the seat previously occupied by the future president, the president of the United States of America, Barack Obama, at that time. So the so-called 60-day period, again, is not enshrined in statutes or regulations, but it is just this notion that you do not want necessarily to affect the results of an election. You want to do something that purposely affects the results of an election by virtue of charging in that period of time. Having said that, the other part of this, of course, is that there is also this mandate that when a prosecutor is ready to go with a prosecution, the notion that you're waiting on it, that you're doing something that's not related to the interests of justice, the promotion of the rule of law, that can also be problematic. And so when it comes to Donald Trump and what may be happening around this time next year as we go into summer, into the fall, you better believe that there are going to be an awful lot of discussions between, say, a U.S. attorney in D.C., maybe New York as well, and the attorney general, the deputy attorney general, about the timing of all of this. And again, this is going to be the flagship, if you will, in terms of precedent here. Doesn't necessarily mean that it cannot happen. I would like to think that sometime long before a convention happens here in Milwaukee, charges will be out there. The question then is the trial itself, and who are you pending in front of? So, for example, George Santos, he's in Eastern New York. That's basically Long Island. He's appearing in front of a judge named Joanna Seibert. He's got to show up again on June 30th. Entirely possible that trial could be conducted before the next congressional election, also in 2024. There's a 70-day period under the Speedy Trial Act from the time of your first appearance here, basically. That will be extended. In the case of Donald Trump, that will be long extended, as we've said before, because they're going to find that it's complex. And depending upon how the case is charged, defense counsel are going to come in and make a lot of arguments about that. But all that depends, again, upon the charging discretion, the timing by the Department of Justice, by the Attorney General, be his call. And then a lot of advocacy in front of the trial judge to whom a Trump indictment is assigned. And most judges are, and I think we've seen this before, are saying, you know what? It's very interesting that you're running for the presidency of the United States of America. I've got a courtroom to run, and you're a defendant like everybody else, and I will make findings based upon what's in front of me. I'm not simply going to postpone a trial just because you happen to be in the fill in the blank, the Iowa caucuses or the Wisconsin primary. Most judges will say, I run my court according to what my schedule mandates and what the requirements of the facts of this case are. So a lot of discretion built into that. I think the George Santos trial can, in fact, happen before next November. Again, a trial of Donald Trump, less likely because of the complexity, but could still happen depending upon the judge to whom the case is assigned. Again, understanding Speedy Trial Act does place mandates. You can't extend this forever.
Our fine guest, Jim Santel. One more quickly, Jim. Any difference when you talk about state courts or local municipalities, perhaps Fulton County or the Manhattan DA's office, any guardrails on state level or local jurisdictional prosecutions?
Yeah, most of them also have speedy trial acts of various kinds. Not familiar with them in every single state, but they also have mandates. Again, once you've indicted, the notion is that defendant and the public have a right to a trial within a relatively fair and reasonable period of time. And so those will be attended to. Again, state court judges, like federal judges, can make findings extending that time based upon the interests of justice, interests of the defendant, interests of the public generally, usually premised upon the complexity of the case, maybe some other things related to witnesses from time to time. But those considerations can also happen at the state level. Bonnie Willis, other people out there considering state charges. We already know that Bragg, the DA in Manhattan, has done that already. Are thoughtful about these issues too. The election's looming. It causes all sorts of internal, maybe not external discussions by those folks, but internal considerations that go to how best to protect the interests of justice with the prosecution and the legitimacy of that prosecution being at the top of that list and not things unrelated to what happens in court.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney, our friend. Well, Fannie Willis has already announced to the sheriffs and to the police, expect criminal indictments between July and September. Hell, it's imminent, Jim.
Mm-hmm,
given those timeframes, let's say she lays them down mid-July, right? He's indicted. He's been charged, right? When does that 70-day to trial thing start? And given those timeframes as we know them, is it plausible that they could actually complete that trial prior to the election next year?
Right. So I should have started up on Georgia law, in particular, the 70 days is under the Federal Speedy Trial Act. Okay. I suspect Georgia is fairly simple.
Close. Sure. Let's assume that.
A couple months or so, that sort of thing. The judge will probably extend it. He usually does in what will really be a white collar case, not a paper case, but a white collar a transactional case like this. I could see in a state court, again, not having practiced in Georgia, that the judge there, and that Bonnie Willis will also push for a trial, perhaps sometime in early 2024, when we're right in the middle of the campaign. And again, even a state court judge is not going to say, well, gee, I'm sorry, the defendant's got to be off campaigning for the next primary. Not going to spend a lot of time on that issue. Might be doing some things around the edges, but the judges will focus there in Georgia as well. I could see again, depending upon who she charges this, if it is discreet enough, has to do with a phone call, maybe the fake electors are there as well, maybe some John Eastman stuff related to this overall plan with the vice president, other attempts to affect poll workers there in Georgia. She will not fall into the trap of doing too much in an indictment. You need to focus this on the big things, the core things that underscore the attempt to defraud here. Again, it could very well be that right about now, summertime of 2024, as we're going to the conventions, you could have a trial in the state court. I won't bet you lunch on that, but I think that's a strong possibility.
Jim, back on the federal level, does former president, federal candidate Donald Trump receive any different prosecution or effort towards him than federal candidate George Santos? You know what I'm saying? These are both guys running for election. Trump does not have the protection of the presidency at this time. He's just a regular citizen. Would whatever application apply to one apply to the other, or is there an exception for a former president?
There certainly is not. Nothing written in the law. And even though people, and certainly Donald Trump, seems to think that he's got this special cast on him for the rest of his life, the answer is not. He is a private citizen. He, I will say, will be indicted both in the state system and by the federal system. And he is subject to all of the rules and regulations of the federal criminal code, just as George Santos is as well. And it looks as if the judge as to that case, the Santos case, again, scheduling something in late June. I suspect that she is going to hold his feet to the fire and continue down the road of enforcing the law in her court, whoever the federal district court judge is, presumably in Washington, D.C., who ends up with the Trump indictment, will do the same thing and will not be very much interested in the political machinations and obligations of her candidate. He or she has an obligation to bring that case to trial. Will also presumably impose, as some judges have, some, I don't want to call them gag orders, but some restrictions on what the parties, including the defendant, should be talking about outside of the courtroom. We know Donald Trump has great difficulty with that. That could be a source of continuing concern in that proceeding. But again, the judge is in control and not going to be guided by the fact that you happen to have been employed for 4 years by the United States government, not an issue.
Jim, I'm done on the Trump questions. Let's clear you got another Trump question, but I want to move on quickly to Mark Pomerantz. He was subpoenaed by the Judiciary Committee, of course, under what, Cy Vance, Manhattan DA prosecutor investigating Donald Trump. He pled the fifth today, Jim, which I guess I'm not surprised, but I guess I didn't consider when I realized he was going to be testifying after the subpoena and Alvin Bragg, and they came to terms. I wanted to get your sense of how that went down, Jim. What do you think that means?
Yeah, it's curious to me, too, and I really, again, have to scratch my head about this one. Again, Pomerantz is out there. He's written a book about this, right? We know that. He is plainly no friend of Alvin Bragg, and again, curious that he was subpoenaed in the first place, because presumably this is a witness who would talk about how he was aggrieved by the fact that he was not permitted to prosecute Donald Trump. Right. The Republicans want to call him in. That's kind of curious. But exactly what the nature of his Fifth Amendment invocation is certainly suggests that there is something else going on here. I hesitate to speculate without pondering that more and thinking more about what the news reporting is all about there. You would think that, again, especially after Alvin Bragg has basically given up on his attempt to try to keep Pomerantz from testifying, withdrew the appeal, said, go ahead and do this, which was surprising in and of itself. Lots of twists and turns here. This Pomerantz thing is a head scratcher to me, especially, again, since I think, if anything, he would talk about, and again, Fifth Amendment as to him, not Fifth Amendment as to Donald Trump. He doesn't invoke that as to the target of his investigation. What things would he say that would tend to incriminate him? That is a concern.
Jim, I got time maybe for just one more question.
All right.
What should happen to U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, and what's the venue for retribution?
Yeah.
At least ethical retribution, like uphold him to an ethical standard. There's not one, is there, Jim?
Right. What has to happen here is John Roberts needs to take control of this. And he's got, again, he made the decision not to appear in front of Dick Durbin's committee. I get that maybe at some level. He's got to say, listen, folks, listen, the rest of you, including Clarence, we need to embrace the standards that are imposed upon all the judges whose decisions we review, appeals court, district court. We got to do that. We got to let the judicial conference know that we're going to be ethically on the right side of ethics here. Appearances of impropriety, real improprieties here. We got to recuse ourselves when we have cases involving, oh, I don't know, Harlan Crow, including the Trammell Crow case from a number of years ago. We can't have these kinds of things going on. He's got to, and really it's that self-patrolling, but John Roberts has got to take control of this. Short of that, yes, somehow our Congress has got to impose a regulation, a code on its own. The Congress can do that without any separation of powers problems. They do that with all kinds of things routinely. The third option, you talk about a guy named Samuel Chase, who was once impeached, not removed, but once impeached by the House of Representatives. That is an option, too, not going to happen under this regime. But all those things are out there. They need to get their house in order.
So we'll get no solutions, Jim.
We'll get no solutions in the immediate future.
Thank you, sir. Hope you have a wonderful weekend and a great show
you
tomorrow
also.
Morning. Tune in. Morning Cannolis with our pal.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Turner's at Turner Hall offer gymnastics, rock climbing, yoga, meaningful forums, training, and countless ways to have fun and matter to Milwaukee. Whether you hang upside down or hang out, they've got you covered. Membership is only $35 a year. Be a part of Milwaukee's past, present, and future. Visit them at MilwaukeeTurners.org. That's MilwaukeeTurners.org. Or find them on Facebook or Instagram.
We're all familiar with the three whats. What is it? What can it do for me? And what does it cost? At Country Financial, we can help you find the answers with insurance coverage to help protect what's most important to you, all at a price you can afford. So while you're juggling work and kids while trying to keep an eye on your future, we'll make sure we're one of the first ones there when you need us most. What should you do next? Call Matthew Holbrook, your Country Financial representative, at 414-332-2137 and chat about your insurance needs today. 414-332-2137.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
So here we have Jim Troupas, Dan Kelly, we got Michael Gableman.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Hallelujah, it's Friday.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Make sure you check us out on the socials, on Twitter at Devil Radio, on Facebook at the Devil's Advocates Radio, and of course, get the podcast for the interviews and the shows at the civicmedia.us webpage. Click on the show tab and look for the Devil's Advocates.
Dom, I want to thank our most recent guest, a fine one, former U.S. Attorney James Intel, friend of the Devil's Advocates, and host of Morning Cannolis. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, 9 to 11, you better tune them in all across the Civic Media Network. And Dom, still time for your phone calls, and probably got some Brewer tickets to give away. Just tell Ebone you want the ticket for tonight's game against the Royals. Now, the Royals are sub-500. Brewers are half a game out. They win tonight. A little bit of luck. They could be in first place by tomorrow, Dom. 844-967-2789. One other quick self-indulgent thought. I have a comedy concert this weekend. Again, it is the spring and summer of Crudy. I'm hoping so. Samantha Bee. Remember when we met her at the DNC? A very funny woman. And I'm going to ask her if I bump into her, you know, because she'll be looking for me in the crowd, I bet. Hey, Samantha, you remember the dude with the cheese head on top of the badger hat? And I told you, you should be the host of the Daily Show. And you said, I'm okay doing one day a week. The Full Frontal, just a one-day show Wednesday nights. You can tune it in on the TBS. But anyways, going to see her in concert tomorrow night, comedy style. 844-967-2789. If you want to hear some funny, let's get to Lou from Cudahy.
Yeah.
Hey, Lou.
Knock, knock, Lou.
Who's there?
You, buddy. Talk. What do you got?
Cool. Hey, you know, the Federation for American Immigration Reform, FairUS.org, says that Biden now allowed in 6 million illegals since he took office. And you put that together with Governor Evers releasing, I think he commuted or released, pardoned.
How are the two related? But, Lou, how are the two related? How is
I'm making my point right now.
Okay, you better make a good one, man.
Yeah, it's an easy one to make. If you support and do all that stuff, it's proof, in my mind, that Democrats are the party of pro-crime. They like it. It's okay that if criminals get away in and get away with stuff and get loose.
Lou, you don't believe that for a minute, do you, man? I mean, seriously, you don't think any Democrat goes home and thinks, man, I'm really down for more crime. Who wants more crime, Lou? It's a ridiculous premise.
I would enable you to say that I'm a conspiracy theorist, but actually that stuff did happen.
Well, you are a conspiracy theorist if you believe it, Lou, but, you know, that's a self-assessment. 844-967-2789. Rico from Rock County, how you doing, fella?
Hey, Rico.
Hey, doing good, guys. I don't get it with these cons, you know? Conservatives. You know, earlier you talked about the babies down at the border and they got their panties up in their crawl about this, you know, and it's like, hey, you know what? You guys were the party that prayed for more babies, protested for more babies. And you know what? The Lord behold unto you 10 times more babies than you so desire. There you go.
They want more
of these babies now.
recall. They want more white babies. Not so much the brown babies, not the third world country, the immigrant babies, less so. They want more white babies because otherwise, as Tucker Carlson would have told you on Fox News, the white man will be diluted through the immigrants. You know, if you believe that somehow immigration dilutes your Americanism, like you're less of an American because we're letting more people in, I mean, you start to understand the twisted logic of the Tuckers and the MAGA and the racist, really. I think, Rico, I think it all stems from racism, fella.
There's no doubt about it. Hello? Oh, I got cut off.
Oh, you didn't get cut off, man. Just we didn't cut you off verbally, so you thought you were being cut off. But no, you got any final thoughts, Rico? What are you doing for the missus for Mother's Day? You taking care of her?
We got a big party planned. We got a big party planned. But looking forward to my those seats were great. Me and my grandson went. And oh my gosh, we have a good time. I really want to thank you guys, man. That was a memory he's going to have for the rest of his life. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome, Rico.
Nice, Rico.
Making memories. Usually Dom does that in the back seat of the car. 844-967-2789. He's coming on soon. He's Pizza Box Mike outside the Pizza Box. He'll be on the Civic Media Network, at least WMDX, starting at 7 o'clock. How you doing, Pizza Box? What are you, hiding in the parking lot somewhere?
What's up, Mike?
I'm on the square, but I had to call just because of that, you know, that Evers comment and the $6.2 million and stuff. You know, this country has been letting people come in since the beginning of time, right? The only difference is when the pilgrims got here, they went through immigration, right?
Right.
Okay. They just don't want anybody to have what they had, which was they were, you know, I guess, born into this freedom, right? But nobody else can be. And you know what? Evers didn't pardon anybody. He didn't do any commuting of the sentences like this guy was going to try and misinform people with. People get paroled every year. It has nothing to do with the governor. It has with them
serving their time. Pizza Box, accurately, though, Lou's right about this. The current governor, Tony Evers, has pardoned, I think it's approaching 1,000 people in the five-ish years he's been governor of the state of Wisconsin. And you contrast that with Scott Walker, who in 8 years pardoned zero people. There was not a single reformed Wisconsinite worthy of redemption. You know, that seems like a Christian principle. But, you know, he's not exactly a practicing Christian.
No, 1,000 people getting their sentences pardoned, commuted. Why doesn't he do the research on why they were let free? Was it for marijuana and some other stuff? But meanwhile, you guys want to arm everybody and get drunk and not let anybody do anything if it's not what you like to do. That's freedom in America, bunch of clowns. Come on.
Well, it is a F Your Feelings Friday, Pizza Box Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, very patient man. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and Ron Johnson should quit flapping his mouth about Hunter Biden's crimes because Ron Johnson is one step away from him being indicted on the whole fake electors.
I hope you're right about that, Mark.
Down the government.
And then we could talk about the 14th Amendment blocking him from the ballot in all future elections. Mark, you got 30 seconds to make a final point, my friend. You got the last word today.
And Lou should attend to his Matthew in the Bible and actually say we're supposed to be welcoming the stranger because we're supposed to welcome the immigrant and take care of people. But he must not believe in the Bible, must not believe in Jesus then because he's rejecting Matthew, 35 in the Bible where we're supposed to take care of one another.
Mark, I think he's been wandering in the desert for like 40 years. Hope you have a wonderful weekend, my friend. I hope you all do. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Don't forget, outside the Pizza Box at 7 o'clock right here on WMDX Mad Radio with our pal Pizza.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different. But we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.wfhr,
Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.